Last week we looked at the cross that Jesus was asking us to carry. And we learned that we all have different crosses, right? But that's, you know, because they come in all different shapes and sizes. You know, it's just like how we're all different, right? We have different personalities. We have different families, different countries, cultures, lifestyles. You know, and matter of fact, there are some things that happen in life that doesn't bother me at all. Some of you would be amazed at some of the things that happen in my life that I'm able to carry. My carrying capacity in some things is huge. But you know the weird thing is? There are some things that happen in life that you would be like, buddy, that is the easiest thing in the world, and it crushes me. It's the heaviest thing in the world for me to carry. But that shouldn't surprise you because God has made us all different. We all are. It doesn't make one of us, you know, better or worse at cross carrying. It just means that we better be sure that whatever we're carrying, it's what God asked us to carry. Not what I want to, not what someone else wants to put on me, but I carry what God has asked me to carry. Because I'm learning even more and more that when God asks me to carry a cross, he's not trying to hurt me. He's not trying to offend me. He's not trying to frustrate me at all. He isn't. God wants to purify me, though. He does. He wants to do everything he possibly can to transform me into the image of his son. And that's really what it's all about. Now, we did learn last week, we learned how to figure out what God is asking us to carry. And it's as simple as learning to see what God has brought you through. I mean, through his cross, Jesus purchased our forgiveness, he purchased our freedom, and he purchased our healing. He did. The cross you carry is all God has done for you and everything that he has brought you through. It's your gospel. It's your witness. It's what you tell the world to show them just how big a God is that you serve. We learned that some of the things that we carry, though, they can be pretty heavy, right? I mean, it could be things like a broken childhood. It could be abuse. It could be divorce. It could be abandonment. But God uses those things to show not only us that the chains are broken, but we can then show the world what God can do in their lives. But see, the cross sometimes can be some really big, awesome things in our life, too. It could be that best friend that you've had your entire life. It could be getting maybe a huge scholarship to the college that you wanted to attend. It could be like a great honeymoon that you had with your spouse. It could be something as simple but meaningful to you. Maybe you scored the game-winning touchdown in that game that you just remember so well. It could be something as simple as when you gave birth to that son or daughter that you have in your life. See, your cross is full of all the different God miracles that he did in your life. Why does he add that to the cross? Because people need you also to tell them not only all the things that he can free them from, but just how much that God loves us and loves to generously just love on his sons. Daughters. That cross is also full of change, though, and growth, right? God's timing, we don't like it. God's timing is hard. God's timing can be painful. God's timing, I'm learning, is rarely convenient or comfortable. It never really ends to measure up to it when I think God should do things. Have you noticed that? But see, others need to know just how faithful God's timing really is. He is worthy of our trust. And that cross will change over time, we learned, right? God adds more life events and experiences to us, and that really enriches our relationship to him. At least it should. It also increases our ability to shine the love of Jesus to those who desperately need to hear how big God is. Every battle we win, every battle we lose, every battle that we just seem to be just trying to stand firm. I mean, it's not like we're holding out till help comes. Others need to know that. It's because of that that grows us in our obedience to God. It grows us in just showing us how faithful God is. I love the scripture we used last week. It was in 2 Corinthians 7. I'll put them up behind me so you don't even have to turn. But 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9, it says, if you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles. We're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. And that's why we have each other, right? We check up on each other. We make sure and we hold each other accountable. We lift up each other's arms when we need it. I mean, we're carrying, the Bible says, gifts that we don't deserve. Ordinary clay pots full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pour out what we don't deserve onto people who don't deserve it either. Isn't that beautiful to think that? Actually, I want to read another part of the 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 16. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. The lavish celebration prepared for us. So let's finish Luke 9:23. Part 4, follow me. Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Now, the word follow me, it's interesting. If you look up follow me in the dictionary, you're going to get lots of different definitions. I mean, it's to go or to come after, to imitate. But what I've learned when it comes to the Bible, it's important to try to find and understand it in the context of when it was written. So when I looked it up, it's more than just to imitate. That's really not what it's trying to say. To follow, when you read it here, means to completely leave what you're doing. It's to go with someone specifically with the intent of becoming their disciple, no matter where they end up going. In order to follow, though, you have to have someone you're following, right? Can you follow unless you have someone in front of you? No, you can't. You have to follow. When you're following someone, you better be someone that you're following. Now, the interesting thing is, and this is an important concept that I want to talk to you about this morning. The world has a very different idea when it comes to following. They have a very different concept, or I guess you'd say philosophy. Now, how many of you have ever heard this term? Follow your heart. How many of you have heard that before? I mean, doesn't that kind of sound romantic? Doesn't it? Follow your heart. I mean, doesn't that almost sound a little spiritual too? I mean, no, follow your heart, you know? As a matter of fact, have you ever had someone tell you, look, God does not put desires in your heart to tease you? Has someone ever told you that before? Now, look, I can tell you that's true. God does not do that. God does not put desires in your heart to tease you. He doesn't do that. But what the problem is people take part of a truth, they kind of change it a little bit, and then they make it a lifestyle. Essentially, what they're saying is that your heart is a compass inside you. That's really what they're saying. Its job is to direct you. That compass is going to show you the true north of your life. And if you just have the courage to follow your heart, it will get you where you need to go. That sounds great, doesn't it? It says that your heart is the best guide. It will lead you to true happiness if you will just listen to your heart. If you are lost, your heart will save you. You know what? I'm telling you, that philosophy, it can sound so simple. It can almost feel so liberating. And that's the reason why it's a very tempting gospel that many in the world, would we agree, follow. Let me ask you this. Are you sure you want that leader to be the one you're following? I mean, at first, it may sound like a great idea until you consider some of the things that you will find in your heart. I mean, think about it. What does your heart tell you? Actually, I don't even want you to answer that. I really don't. I mean, your heart said some things to you today that you probably don't want to repeat, especially out loud. Is that probably a fair statement? I know mine did. I mean, matter of fact, it tells me that everyone should be working for my desires. That's what my heart tells me. My heart likes to think the best in me and the worst in everyone else. Have you noticed that? Matter of fact, I guess that isn't always true. If the people like me, if it's a nice person in my mind, then, you know, then they're okay. But if it's anybody who doesn't, you know, do what I want or doesn't follow the things that I want, my heart doesn't like them. Plus, you know what I've also learned is my heart is always focusing on how great I am, right? And how bad everyone else is. While it's doing that, have you noticed that your heart can just all of a sudden, you get some things inside there that are just totally immoral? You're like, where did that come from? Or maybe you men can understand this. Have you noticed that all of a sudden you could become angry like that over something that's really dumb that you really should have no reason about getting angry about? Maybe it's not just men. I mean, maybe you ladies can understand that as well. But see, this shouldn't surprise us because the Bible says, let me give you this verse, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Pastor, that's the Old Testament. I mean, you know how hard and depressing the Old Testament is, especially the prophets. I mean, so, well, how about if I give you something in the New Testament spoken by Jesus? Would that be okay? We'll do that one then. Matthew 15, 19. This would be in red if you got one of those red letter editions, you know. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Look, you know what the truth is that no one lies more to us than our hearts. No one does. If our hearts are our compass, they're broken. They are. They don't tell us the truth. They tell us what we want to hear, right? If our hearts are our guides, we will quickly learn that our hearts are not loving and kind. They're really not. They're selfish. Matter of fact, if we do what our hearts tell us to do, it will corrupt almost every area of your life, every relationship. It will suck the joy out of your life. It really will. So, no, our hearts are not there to save us. If anything, we need to be saved from our hearts. But see, Jesus understood this. It's not like Jesus was surprised. Jesus knew that in this world, everything would be trying to tell us what to do. Everything in this world wants to tell us the direction we should go, including our heart. The world always has the latest and the greatest plan for our lives. Have you noticed that? You ask someone, they'll tell you what you should do. They will tell you that they've found what you've been looking for, and all you have to do is follow them. So when Jesus said that we're sheep, we really are. I mean, look, you give someone some flashy lights, pull on someone's emotions a little bit, wrap it in kind of a beautiful package, you know, tickle your pride, make you feel a little good, and we come a-running, don't we? You do those things. Jesus knew that unless we were willing to die to ourselves, unless we were willing to die to our will, unless we were willing to die to our past, die to our present, and die to our future, we would have no incentive or any reason to follow after him. We would have none. So you know what I want to do this morning? Since this is all about following him, I want to give you why following after Jesus is the best decision you can ever make. Okay? We're going to look at four reasons. So number one, why is following after Jesus the best decision you can ever make? Number one, Jesus sets the direction. Jesus sets the direction. You know, the interesting thing is, I believe that many people really want that. I do. I don't find too many people who say, I am smarter than God. Haven't met many. Matter of fact, I think that most, if they really believe they knew God's direction for their life, they would do it. Now, not everyone. Not everyone. Because there are some people, they've not surrendered themselves to God. They don't trust God. They don't want God. They run from God. I get it. There are some people that, for whatever reason, they just, no relationship. But I do believe there are a number of people who honestly wish that if they knew exactly the direction that God wanted them to go, they would go. Matter of fact, they want to have the ability to have a conscious decision, God's way this way. They want that. They want to be able to know. But I also think, though, there are some people who are afraid that if they knew exactly where God wanted them to go, they're afraid that they would say no to God. I also think that some people are just afraid that they'll never know the direction that God was leading them, that they're going to miss God. Have you ever had a fear of that, of just missing God? God, I just want to know where you want me to go. And you're just not sure. So, I mean, some of you may say, Pastor, I know that God is always speaking, because I talk about that a lot, right, from up here. God is always speaking to us. He always is. If that's true, why do I find it so hard to know which way to go? Have you wondered that? We don't like that question, though. We don't want to ask that question. And why? Because sometimes, we don't want to tell anyone this, but sometimes we feel ignored by God. Have you ever felt ignored by God? Have you? Where you've gone to God in prayer and you said, God, I got A, B, and C. Which one? And you felt ignored. Like, God, come on, just tell me which one. Sometimes we feel inadequate, right? Like, maybe I'm just not smart enough. Maybe I'm not spiritual enough. Maybe I haven't prayed. You know, I only prayed for 20 minutes, and if I had gone 25, God would have given me that answer. Or maybe we've just missed, maybe God did tell us, and we just missed something obvious. God gave us the answer, and it's like, he's like knocking on your head, like, hello, come on, I gave you the answer, now do it. And there are so many emotions that go through us that cause us either to get to the point where we just don't think God's speaking to us, so we go to someone else. All right, maybe I can go to this guy, because he's prophetic, and he can tell me what God is telling me to do. Or some of us, we're just like, well, I'll just go with my heart. We'll just go with, you know, I mean, it's worked in the before. No, it hasn't worked before, but it's easy, because I know what my heart's saying. Or sometimes we just give up, and we just miss God. Now, it's interesting. I found this online. This is not mine, okay? But you can totally copy it like I did. It's called using your GPS. It is. It's called using your GPS. So G, get in his word. get in His Word. It's impossible to know the right direction unless you've read it or you've heard it. Unless you've gotten one of those two things, it is impossible for you to go the right direction. Matter of fact, the Bible, I've learned, can make every situation, whether you know it or not, it can make the path look clear, easy, and straight. Remember, we read that. Psalms 119, 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So look, get in the Word of God, memorize it, chew on it, follow it. It will make everything in the world seem that much easier for you to follow. It is so much easier to keep your eyes on Jesus if you can see where you're going. Doesn't that just make sense? Walking in darkness is not only dangerous, but I've learned it's pretty lonely. When everything's dark around you, you can't even see the people around you. So G, GPS, get in His Word. P, pray and ask for direction. Get in His Word, pray. Like I said, it's impossible to go the right direction unless you read it or you hear it. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And look, you may not believe it, but the truth is that God wants you to know the right direction. God is not trying to hide things from you. God is not trying to, you know, God does not play hide and seek. He's not. It says in the Bible, if anyone needs wisdom, ask God for it and He will give it to you. God is not trying to hide things from you. Matter of fact, Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Look, our own directions have got us in trouble so many different times. We get ourselves lost all the time when we follow what we believe, when we go by our own logic, our own understanding. Pray and believe that God speaks. Trust He will speak to you. And you know what? Sometimes that means stepping out in faith, just believing that, look, God said it, I'm going to do it. Whether I believe it, whether I understand it, whether it makes sense or not, I got to do what God says. So G, get in the Word. P, pray. S, stay close to Him. Stay close to Him. Look, I've learned it's really hard to get lost if you stay really close to the one you're following, isn't it? I know that that sounds so like simple, but it's true. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. I'll be at home and I'll often say this to my wife or kids because I'll get called. Have you ever been, somewhere in like a building and you hear something's being said to you, but you have no idea what's being said? And it's either because you're too far away or there's noise all around you, where I will often have to yell, "I know you're talking to me, but I can't hear one word you're saying." Now, there's usually two ways to try to solve that. The first thing that people try to do, and I can tell you, this is not the best solution. The first thing that people try to do is they try to remove the noise. They do. Like, all right, turn off the music. All right, now I can hear you. Now, you know what I've learned? If you can control the noise, then that works really well. But you know what I've learned in life? You don't normally have the ability to control the noise around you. You can't. It's not like you can just stop all the madness that's around you and say, "All right, be quiet. All right, now I can hear." You can't, can you? I've not been able to do that in my life. But see, so the best solution is one where, you know what you do? You get up and you go closer to the person who's talking to you. Because look, this is a principle in life, and if you understand it and capture this, it will make your relationship with God stronger. You can't always control the noise, but you can always control the distance. You can control how close you are to God. And I can promise you, the closer you get to Him, the easier it will be for you to understand. Because there will always be noise around you. Always. And you know what I've learned? Since God is God, He then, if we want to get closer to Him, it's not, "Hey God, come closer to me." Nope. He actually thinks He's God. And you know what He expects you to do? To get up and walk and get closer to Him. Proverbs, we'll continue. 3:6. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. See, when we treat God as God and make sure that he's in the center of every part of our life, which means we're following him really close, it just makes the paths that we walk seem really straight. And that only makes sense, right? Because if we're following God, they should be straight. All right. So number two, why is following after Jesus the best decision you can ever make? Well, number two, Jesus sets the pace. So he sets the direction and he sets the pace. Look, they sang about it this morning, Isaiah 40, verse 30. Even young people become worn out and get tired. Even the best of them trip and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will receive new strength. They will fly high as eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not grow weak. You know what this says? Everybody has the potential of getting tired. Everybody. It doesn't matter who you are, you will have the potential of becoming tired. And that will impact your ability to move forward. And if you're following someone and you can't move forward, that's a problem, right? Matter of fact, I've learned this, the more tired you are, you're a bigger risk of getting injured, right? Because you could trip, you could fall. So we should follow the pace of someone who knows our limitations and wants to make sure. Remember, God wants to make sure that we finish the race. I like the fact, did you notice in the scripture that sometimes the person is soaring like an eagle, right? Sometimes in the scripture, we see them running. Other times, we see that they're walking. God does not say any one of those three was bad. Look, when you follow after God, move when he says to move and stop when he says to stop. Slow down when he says to slow down. Speed up when he says to speed up. Look, if you do that, you will finish the journey. You'll get to the end of the race. It takes trust in God because, look, God's going to know when you need to speed up. God's going to know when you need to slow down. Why? Because he sets the pace. He knows your strength. He knows how much endurance you have. Number three, why is following after Jesus the best decision you can ever make? Well, Jesus goes first to make sure it's safe. Jesus goes first to make sure it's safe. Psalms 37, verse 23. If the Lord is pleased with the way a man lives, he makes his steps secure. Even if the man trips, he won't fall. The Lord's hand takes good care of him. Now, one of the things that I actually look back to with growing up with my family is that I used to really love taking walks with my family, especially when the kids were younger. But then there was also times that I hated taking walks with my family when they were really young. I mean, look, the first part of a hike with kids is great. You love the first part. It's awesome. You're adventurers. You're exploring. Everything you see is new. I mean, the treasures you find as you're going to that destination, it's awesome. Now, once you get to the destination and you turn around and you go back, not so good. Why? Because all of a sudden, everybody's tired. And you know what normally happens with the youngest one? Guess where they end up? Yes, on the back of dad. It's not a fun journey. It's not. I'm not going to lie to you. You know what? And unfortunately, with my family of four, that normally ended to be Heidi. Heidi would end up on my back. She got bigger. But you know what I learned as a dad? I quickly learned if I wanted to keep my youngest one safe on a hike, you know, there was two things I had to do. Number one, I had to hold her hand. I did. I had to hold her hand. And number two, I had to walk a little bit in front of her. I had to do both. See, because if we were going to go, let's say we were going to go like walk up maybe a stiff, you know, a really steep rock area. Or if we were going to go down a really steep rock area. Or if we were going to walk across some parts that looked kind of mushy, because, you know, sometimes when you're hiking, it's a little muddy out. Or maybe it's that raging stream, you know, the ones that to a child looks like, you know, it's white water, you know, and you're like, all right, whatever, you know. But I learned if I didn't go first and I didn't have her hand, then I couldn't test the rocks. Because you know what I learned? Things that I could walk through really easily, she couldn't. And if I let her go first, you know what would happen? She would fall. She would trip. And guess what I would end up having to do? I'd end up having to carry her. So you know what? As a smart dad, I wanted to hold her hand and go forward first because I wanted to test to be sure that every step that she was going to take was going to be safe. See, that's what we do when we follow after Jesus. He makes sure that every single one of our steps are secure. You know why? Because he pre-screens it all. When we're following him, not running ahead of him, he makes sure. I love his promise that says, even when we trip, because that would happen sometimes. Sometimes when I was holding her hand, she would still kind of stumble. You know what I mean? Because there would always be that root or that rock, or she'd be looking to the side, and she would immediately start to, you know, and if I wasn't holding her hand, it would have been face first. But you know what I would do? As soon as I felt her kind of stumble, you know what? I'd just lift up. That's all I would do. I would lift up with my hand, and that, I mean, even sometimes it's literally she's dangling because I literally had to lift her up. But that's what God does to us. Don't you understand? God goes in front of us. God holds our hand. And you have to be pretty close, though, for someone to hold your hand, though, right? When you have that level of trust, your feet will always be secure. So number four, why, this is the final one. Why is following after Jesus the best decision you can ever make? Because Jesus knows where he's going. Jeremiah 29:11. I love it in this version. It says, I know the plans I have for you, announces the Lord. I want you to enjoy success. I do not plan to harm you. I will give you hope for the years to come. I mean, those are the plans that God has for us, for our good. Don't want to harm you. Wants you to be successful. Why in the world? I mean, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but why would we follow anything else, even our own heart, when we have access, when we have a Father in heaven whose goal, whose desire, whose purpose means that happens in my life? Why wouldn't we? Look, we can all have that same level of confidence that God knows where he's going and his plan for us is good. All right, so I have to wrap up my entire series. Let's read it one more time, Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, if you look at that verse in its entirety, and if you look at all the messages I've just done, this is how it would read. If you look at all how we redefine the words, if we looked at all the messages, it's saying that if you want to make the choice, this is voluntary, but if you want to willingly come after Jesus, you do that by denying yourself the option of choosing what to do and where to go. Why do you do that? Well, you do that because you know that without God, you're nothing. And you're okay with that. Instead, what you do is you choose to obey God. You carry all the things that God asks you to carry. You don't pick and choose. You don't ask for trades. You don't look at friends and family and say, I prefer to carry what they're carrying. You carry what God asks you to carry in the direction that he asks you to carry it. His choosing. If you do that, then you are successfully following after Jesus. You are. So, look, I'm going to end with four questions. And this is it. You have to be able to look at these questions honestly And you have to be able to give answers to them, because you're going to have to one day answer for these things. So number one, are we willing? Are we willing? Are we all in? It's, look, it's no turning back. This is not part-time relationship. Look, we played poker on men's night. You know what it means? It's meaning all the chips that are in front of you. It's when a guy says all in and he pushes everything into the middle, win or lose. It's, look, I'm giving you all, God. I'm not keeping a few back for another hand. I'm putting everything into the middle. See, your willingness must depend on your giving all. Number two, will we admit that without God, we are nothing? We have to swallow our pride. And instead, we're proud of the fact that we're just ordinary people with the power of the Holy Spirit inside us. Because I can't do anything good. But man, when I have the power of the Holy Spirit inside me, moving in the purpose of God in my life, watch out what I can do. Watch out. Question three, will we pick up our cross, which is the testimony of what God has done in our lives? Will you pick it up? And it's the good experiences and the bad experiences. Look, don't pick one. Don't just walk around with all the good things that God has done for you, because that's fake. Don't walk around with all just the baggage that God's done, because that's not true. God has done good things in your life. You need to have both. Why? Because the people in the world need to know that not only is God one who loves us, but one who frees us. He's one who forgives us, and he one who heals us. Your testimony is everything that God has done. People need to know. Last question. Will we follow him wherever he goes? Well, then follow your GPS, right? Which is get in the Word. Pray. Stay close. We need to be sure that we're going in the right direction. Without God leading us forward, we will get lost. Turn your GPS on and allow God to direct your steps. See, if you're willing to do that, you know what you're going to hear one day? You're going to stand before God. You're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Matter of fact, put that scripture up. We'll read that together. Matthew 25, verse 23. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. See, when people think of a cross, they think of death. They think of destruction. They think of the end. The cross, it's just the beginning. It's your new life. It's you being able to walk in the promises that God has for you. But if you're not willing, if you won't die to yourself, if you won't pick up everything that God has asked you to carry, and if you won't go in the direction God has asked you to go, you can't go with Jesus. It's all for or it's nothing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand with me?